Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. Very exciting today. My good friend Scott Shira is back. He's been doing research nonstop for now multiple years. And if you are not familiar with him, you should know who he is because he's very important. And he's going to be covering something today with us that I think is incredibly important for us to know.
All right. So what's the reason I am here? It's because of my little buddy. And She was a gift from God. She was born September 22nd of 2002. For those of you who are wondering, what did my hair color look like before? Well, this was when Grace was about three on the left-hand side. And then my favorite picture of Grace, this is the day I stopped killing dandelions in our lawn because she picked this beautiful bouquet for my wife, Cindy. And I thought, wow, I've been killing these things and here they are, a beautiful gift. The website that's on that right-hand picture is the website that links to a landing page for our lawsuit. My daughter, Jessica, is running that site. So if you want to follow our lawsuit, we have the first jury trial coming in the country coming up November 4th. And you can follow the trial by going to graceshara.com. All right. So Grace was extremely high functioning. She could read, write, play violin, public speak. She rode horse. She went deer hunting with me. But the thing that most people don't realize about Down syndrome people is anything is possible if you just let them live, just like any other kid. All right. So what I want to show you is what's behind the curtain today. And we're going to start with Grace's records. This is a schedule of what her last day looked like, according to the hospital records, overlaid with our phone records, because, you know, the lawsuit puts everything in place. And what's interesting is Grace was euthanized. And that was really a wake-up call to me, because she never was on remdesivir, never on a ventilator. 1.2 million Americans lost their lives in hospitals, generally with one or both of those protocols. Well, Grace didn't have any of those. We believe Grace had COVID, whatever that was. We're not going on that rabbit trail today. But ultimately, as we turned the page to her last day, they gave Grace a combination of Presidex, lorazepam, and morphine, which is what you use to euthanize somebody in their last hour of hospice care. When it came, and they did that in a 29-minute window. When it came time to revive Grace, we found out that the doctor had labeled Grace "do not resuscitate." So when we were screaming to revive her, the nurses with a guard outside the room wouldn't even come in the room. They just hollered back, "She's DNR." And we screamed, "She's not DNR, save our daughter." Right. But they refused. And you're going to see some shocking things as I walk through these details on Grace's records. All right. So the next slide is, if you do have the ability to get hospital records, they're not bashful anymore. And they're not bashful, I believe, because they know you can't sue them. And so they're blunt in the records. This particular record, so every doctor that walks into a patient's room has to write a report. This particular one is from the first day Grace was in the hospital. And this was from the COVID expert. You see, his name is Dr. Anthony Zimet. So he was the COVID expert on the COVID wing that Grace was on. And in her first day's doctor report, he referenced that she had Down syndrome four different times. He referenced that we're Christian, and he referenced that we're following the frontline doctors' misinformation campaign. But you see at the bottom of the screen, the thing that was the most shocking, and they were very blunt throughout all the records. He said, "I think the patient probably would not be here if she'd been fully vaccinated." So this stuff is all going to come to light in the jury trial, of course. But I just want to show people, because they think, well, are you just somebody telling a story, or where are you getting all this information from? I mean, it's literally right in the records. All right. So then the illegal DNR, this should shock everybody, because what we learned, I filed a complaint with the state licensing board. And in Wisconsin, that's called the Department of Safety and Professional Services. I filed a complaint against the doctor who wrote the illegal do not resuscitate order. Right. Unbelievably, the medical examining board writes back and says Chapter 154, that's the DNR statute, of the Wisconsin statutes does not apply to physicians operating in a hospital non-emergency room setting, such as the one in question. So wrap your head around what I'm saying. A doctor can put a DNR on any patient he wants as long as they are in a hospital setting. It's like, wow, you can't make this up. So you really have to be paying attention. I believe the only way you can survive a hospital stay is to first change your belief about hospitals, but then second of all, have an advocate who is awake, and that advocate be with you, demanding informed consent and demanding online access to your chart in real time. So then you know exactly what's happening. All right, so how did we get here? What's the legal authority? Why is this happening? All right, we're going to go back to 1967, but I'm going to set up 1967 with something called the Flexner Report. Right. The Flexner Report was written in 1910. The Carnegies hired Abraham Flexner to write a report that put all of its weight behind allopathic medicine. And allopathic medicine, they said, well, we've got to get into this because this is science. And so chiropractic, naturopath, osteopath, homeopath, everything else was thrown under the bus and called quackery. And ultimately, trust the science has become safe and effective today. And I'm going to connect those dots. But you know, this started really before 1910, but 1910 was the first stake in the ground that said, we're, as a country, we are going to follow allopathic medicine. Well, then in 1968, I went to kindergarten. I was 5 years old, and I had a vivid memory of a weekly reader in 1968 that said, if you have more than two children, it's irresponsible. And if your parents had an electric can opener, that was wrong because you're using resources that we don't have, limited resources. So I thought, well, I'm digging for this weekly reader as I'm preparing slides. And all of a sudden, I stumble across this document, the 1967 plan to depopulate the United States. So this became another stake in the ground where the propaganda was all about depopulation. And so, like I said, the weekly reader really emphasized that. We're going to play just a quick video here. In the next slide, Mel. And what I want you to pay attention to in this clip, this is from Newsmax. I rarely watch TV, but one night I came home, I turned it on, and there's this Newsmax clip. And it's like, you know, God orchestrates certain things. He did it again here. This Newsmax clip, I want you to pay attention to what they're saying about the Canadian medical system. And then we'll come back right after that.
Okay,
let's see if we get the sound right. Here we go.
So Canada has a big assisted suicide program for all.
Make it a little louder.
Well, it's pretty shocking, Chris. Canada is set to expand its assisted suicide program in 2024 to include the mentally ill. The program is only 7 years old, but the latest data shows the number of deaths under the medical assistance and dying program rises every year. Officials in Canada say they've been prudent and thought the expansion through, but one medical expert tells Reuters that most mental illnesses aren't even fully understood, so they shouldn't be out.
Oh, shoot. Sorry, Mel. I don't know what happened.
Play it again. Oh, is it gone?
All right, we'll start over.
Canada has a big assisted suicide program for all kinds of Canadians, right?
Well, it's pretty shocking, Chris. Canada is set to expand its assisted suicide program in 2024 to include the mentally ill. The program is only 7 years old, but the latest data shows the number of deaths under the medical assistance and dying program rises every year. Officials in Canada say they've been prudent and thought the expansion through, but one medical expert tells Reuters that most mental illnesses aren't even fully understood, so they shouldn't be eligible. Obviously, this is a tough topic, one that can get pretty heated. It's pretty dark. You know, I think Jason, probably something you and I can agree on is I don't want any doctor or any government telling me what I can or can't do with my body.
I think that there's a fundamental problem with the Canadian health system, which is that when socialized medicine doesn't work. This is, you know, where they have long waiting lists, they have outdated drugs, they have equipment that's, you know, substandard. There's so many problems with the Canadian system that for them, it's like, let's move quickly and, you know, get rid of these mentally ill people. And it also raises a question, what if you are a mentally ill person that you can't really make that decision? Is someone else going to make the decision for you?
Mentally ill people, homeless people, people living in poverty. How about, you know, people with Down syndrome and then gypsies or something? You know?
Yeah, no, I mean, you can't have euthanasia as an option for having poor, you know, safety net systems and providing for your society. It's just cruel. It's inhumane. And it's, quite frankly, it's gross. And Canada's not the only country in the world that allows for this, but they are exceptional in a few instances where they do contrast with other countries. They don't have a commission to look into wrongful deaths. Somebody who might have gone in there for a minor injury and then, you know, couldn't get the treatment that they needed. There was a case that I read about of a man who complained of hearing loss, and they put him down. And there was no commission, so the family members are lost. Also, you know, doctors can basically suggest that you should be put to death. In most other countries, that's right. Not the case. Nurses can provide euthanasia, and you're not required to exhaust all the other treatment options. So if you're at the end of the line, you can just choose to die rather than to choose other treatments that might be successful.
Well, maybe the Canadian medical system's long waiting list will be the salvation, and people will have a chance to change their minds.
I think, you know, what's next? Is it then, you know, the baby boomer population, the aging, the elderly that are suddenly a burden on society? When do they become the next target of something like this?
It's the stuff of science fiction.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, the reality is Newsmax is in on it. So those of you who are loyal to Newsmax, this clip, Beyond a Shadow of a Doubt, shows that they're in on it. I'm going to show you with a number of documents I found as evidence, all on one page here, to show you the lies. All right, so the first thing is what they're doing is what the United States has become great at, which is projecting our sin on another country when all the while we're doing something worse. In fact, we were the first one in on this. And if you look at Obamacare section 1553, you will see that it says, you see the underlying section here, the federal government may not subject an individual or institutional healthcare entity to discrimination. So an individual is a doctor, an institutional healthcare entity is hospital, nursing home, hospice care facility, to discrimination on the basis that that entity does not provide any healthcare item or service furnished for the purpose of causing or the purpose of assisting in causing the death of any individual, such as by assisted suicide, euthanasia, or mercy killing. So there you have it, legalized euthanasia, assisted suicide, and mercy killing, right in our own socialized medicine. So they claim we don't have socialized medicine. Well, Obamacare became socialized medicine. Right. Believe me, I'm not throwing Obama under the bus. He should be thrown under the bus, but they're all in on it, every one of them. And when you go back in time to 1996, Ezekiel Emanuel was the chief architect of Obamacare, and he said that if you're a non-contributing member of society, you don't deserve medical care. So that, you know, the eugenics today becomes, we all have to watch out. The low-hanging fruit were the elderly and disabled, which I'll connect the dots at in a minute. Well, then, you know, the Patriot group will say their favorite president in their lifetime is Ronald Reagan. Well, on November 14th of 86, he signed into law the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act. So that gave downstream liability of zero to anybody who manufactures a vaccine. And that doesn't even take into account the whole vaccine agenda is a psyop. All of it. No vaccine's ever been tested. All right. So then they said, well, you know, in other countries, doctors and nurses can kill the patients. Well, hello, look at this headline. Doctors won't help patients kill themselves, so state enlists nurses. This happened in Hawaii in June, last June, the Hawaii governor signed into law allowing nurses to kill. All right. So then the last, she kept saying, the lady at the end, you know, other countries don't have a commission. They don't have a commission. So people, what is a commission? Well, it's called the Joint Commission in the United States. And the Joint Commission gives like the gold medal seal of approval to medical systems. I know this because I sent a complaint for Grace's murder to the Joint Commission. And what do you think happened? There's no investigation. They send you a sham form letter back, and it's nothing. So this is so sick. But when people watch this stuff on the news, it's all programming, 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 programming. All right. So then, how do they even pull this off? The government can legally lie to us. So when they said safe and effective, I'm going to show you the next document. They knew they were lying, but lying became legal in 2012. And if you take all the way back to 1948, the Smith-Mundt Act was passed, and the Smith-Mundt Act legalized propaganda to all of their countries. So the United States, through the idea of protecting its citizenry, can use propaganda in other countries. Well, the Smith-Mundt Act was modernized in 2012 to allow our country to use propaganda against its own citizens. So this idea of COVID being a scam, the plandemic, scamdemic, whatever you want to call it, that was all legal, literally legal. All right, so then this next slide, Mel, slide 13 in my slide deck. Are you familiar with the Brooke Jackson case, Mel?
Yes, I am. You could tell my audience, okay. But yeah, I am. I've been following.
Okay, well, it is another God's providence. You know, one of the attorneys with Brooke Jackson is Warner Mendenhall. He's also one of our attorneys. Well, I was researching the Brooke Jackson case because I was shocked when I started to dig into it.
Yeah.
And I was on the phone with Warner discussing our case one night. I said, hey, Warner, are you familiar with this Brooke Jackson case? He said, I'm one of the attorneys. So he sent me some documents, saved me, you know, half a dozen to a dozen hours of research. And I was able to wrap my head around this thing very quickly. So for those of you who are not familiar, Brooke Jackson became a whistleblower. And in our country, we can obtain whistleblower status if we find out a company that we're working for is defrauding the federal government. So Brooke Jackson starts working for Pfizer. She sees that they're not doing any testing of this supposed vaccine. So she files a False Claims Act claim against Pfizer, January 8th, 2021. Unbelievably, although not unbelievably when you actually see the documents, Pfizer's defense to the lawsuit was, we have an other authority agreement with the Department of Defense that doesn't require us to do any testing because this is not a vaccine. Yeah, so now this is out in the public in January, okay? In May of 21, the government already acknowledged that the jab causes myocarditis. This is why there was Grace died in the fourth quarter of 2021. That was the highest quarter of hospital murders. What's the reason? You know, the old way of inducing people to get jabs was to create fake viruses and the fear around these viruses, so everybody panics and gets jabbed. Well, they ratcheted it up to hospital murders this time so they could report all these people dying from COVID. All right, so now Grace dies in the fourth quarter because this stuff is getting out. All right, the fourth quarter was the highest percentage of hospital murders during the 39-month COVID era. And you're going to see what else they did in a minute. But I want to come back to the Brooke Jackson case. So now, instead of the federal government coming and supporting their whistleblower, they filed what's called a supporting dismissal of the amended complaint on October 4th of 2022. And you see the underlying piece. It says, in short, the complaint does not plead factual content to support a conclusion that compliance with the clinical trial protocol or regulations was necessary under the contract between Pfizer and the Army. So the government says, yeah, Pfizer, you're telling the truth. This thing was never a vaccine, so consequently, you don't have to do any testing. All right, so then what's the current status? Well, Warner and I were speaking together at a conference in Las Vegas in March, and we were talking about this case again. And he said, he's got to go to Texas. I thought it was the end of April, but it's actually May 1st. I called him last week. I said, are you going the end of April for this hearing? He said, no, it's May 1st. I said, well, what's it called? And so you see May 1st, it's called a hearing on motion to intervene and dismiss. And what's the reason they're having this hearing? So this is the federal judge calls this hearing because if this case gets out, it contradicts public health policy. So the judge is saying, if this case gets out, the society will lose confidence in the federal government's healthcare plan. So that's how nefarious
themselves, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a memo we talk about that Holder put through under Clinton that I think is involved in this. It's called the Collateral Consequences Memo. And that's why it appears none of the banks that were involved in the controlled demolition of the banking institutions ever went to jail. Nobody was ever prosecuted, really, because to them, to the government, protecting the government is more important. And the collateral consequences of what it would look like for the public if they prosecuted within the government or within the agencies would be too high of a cost. I think that's exactly what's going on here too. It's terrible.
Right on. It's exactly right. It's a perfect parallel to this situation. It's so frustrating because my daughter was murdered and 1.2 million Americans were murdered. Yep. And all to get an illegal bioweapon in people's arms. I mean, it's so, that's why I want to tell, you know, anytime.
No, I love it. We have to tell people. They never hold themselves accountable. This is the same thing we've been dealing with since, honestly, JFK, if not before that, is why do they never look inside? Because they're protecting the institutions, not the people or the Constitution. They need to protect the institutions by any means necessary to never admit guilt. And this, and I'm so glad you're doing this in the Brooke Jackson case. And I think a lot of things are coming to the surface. So I think I'm really grateful that you put this together because now it's all making sense on like how they're using this old precedent that they set up. And don't forget, that was set up also by Holder, collateral consequences, Obama. You know, there was a lot of things during the Obama years that led to a lot of the inability of us to hold people accountable now.
Right on. You're the you add such a level to what I'm doing. It's great.
I love talking to you, but you do amazing work. So let's keep going because I'm sure people are shocked. Right. But at this point, Scott, unlike when we first started talking 2.5 years ago, at this point, not people that don't believe it are at least open to it. People that do know it, you know, you're giving them information to empower themselves to get involved. So I really appreciate it.
Well, that's why I'd really like showing documents because you can't unsee the documents. All right. So just because these documents made everything legal, that doesn't mean they can get people to kill. So how do they pull this off?
We are right now in $34 trillion worth of debt. We have geopolitical chaos everywhere. The central bank digital currency is looming. The BRICS nations have expanded beyond Saudi Arabia and continue to expand. And all I know is that many experts keep telling me that gold and silver is the best way to hedge against inflation and to protect your savings going forward. Did you know you can convert your 401k and IRA into physical gold and silver today? It can be shipped direct to your door or stored in a secure location. So go to our partners page at themelkayshow.com, fill out the form, and someone from Beverly Hills Precious Metals will get in touch with you right away to help you figure out the best course for you and your family ahead. Stay secure, stay safe, and prepare now.
And you remember, I've talked about this term before with you, the banality of evil. Yep. So evil, we have a culture of death. We have a banality, common, evil so common that it becomes unrecognizable. And I'm just going to hit the disabled abortion culture because, you know, Grace's disability, Down syndrome, 90% of Down syndrome babies are murdered in the womb in the United States today. So how do they pull that off? What does the banality of evil look like? Well, the young couple gets pregnant. They have bought their medical insurance. They go in and see their white coat doctor. And the doctor says, congratulations, you're pregnant. Let's schedule your amniocentesis. They have no roots, of course. So all they ask is, does our insurance pay for it? Well, yes, your insurance does pay for it. Side note, that's because they're in on it. The best thing you can do to protect yourself is get rid of your medical insurance. Because then your critical thinking takes over. You don't ask that foolish question, does my insurance pay for it? They are in on it. So now the couple gets the results of the amniocentesis. The doctor schedules a meeting and he says, it looks like your baby boy is going to have Down syndrome. I recommend an abortion. And you're going to see why he recommends that in a little bit. And the couple, of course, has no roots. He just explains how, you know, a disabled person in your life is going to be a complication. You know, Grace was the best thing God ever gave us, second to salvation. But he doesn't explain that. It's just all these complications. And, you know, it's really bad on society to have these type of people around because they're a drain. So the couple schedules their abortion. So this is the banality of evil. It applies to not just disabled, but it also applies to the elderly. Put them in nursing homes. You know, the public fool system sets all of that up. And then, you know, what I want to go through, and this is the second most important slide in the whole program, the at the end is the most important one, but the Medicare Medicaid set this whole thing up. It set up the collectivism lie. So collectivism means we've got to look at the good of the population versus the good of the individual. So in 1965, Medicare Medicaid was non-existent. President Johnson signed into law Medicare Medicaid. So then we have the first time where under this idea, we got to take care of the elderly and disabled. They always make it sound good. But if you look at this through the lens of a satanic agenda, this stuff is set up. There's all these markers, all these stakes in the ground. They set it up systematically to pull this off. This wasn't like, oh, we got a bunch of disabled and elderly. Let's put Medicare and Medicaid in place because we really want to take care of them. No, it's just the opposite. This was set up to euthanize them. All right. You've got to understand this to understand the entire psyop that's going on. This is satanic. All right, so what is literally going on today? We have 135 million Americans on Medicare and Medicaid. The cost to maintain the bureaucracies related to those 135 million Americans is $3 trillion a year, 50% of the annual federal budget. So you can see what they're doing is that, oh my gosh, it's too expensive. We've got to do something. And what they did to pull this off is they started writing standards of care. All right, so we'll go to the next slide. So standards of care, people do not realize this. Where do standards of care even come from? So first, just the term standards of care sounds good, right? All these terms sound good. Well, it's not care at all. Standards of care are designed to hasten our deaths, and hastening death is murder. All right, I'll give you a pointed example. Mel, if you went into the doctor today because you have an ailment, he says, well, I don't know, I can't find anything. Let's do a biopsy. So you say, okay, go ahead. So then he says, you better call me right away after the biopsy. So you go in and sit down with him. He says, Mel, you got cancer. So what he does next, so you're after the shock, you start asking questions. Well, how long do I have, doc? And blah, blah, blah. Ultimately, you come to the point of saying, this is the programming. So the doctor's programmed on one end, your program on the other. Your programming says, well, does my insurance cover it? The doctor's programming, I should have went with that first, is he's only got three standards of care he can use. He can cut, radiate, or chemo. That's it. Cutting is the only legitimate of those three, assuming it's the right type of cancer and you caught it early enough. He can never explain. Plus, he's programmed. He doesn't even know. 90% of cancer has been cured, but he can't recommend any of that stuff. And most people are programmed. They don't even know that cancer has been cured. They just see cancer as the kiss of death because it is the kiss of death. The reason is because now you said, does my insurance cover? He says, yes. And so he says, well, let's get your first chemo treatment next week. So he puts his arm around you and you sign your death certificate in the doctor's office. Why do I say that? Chemo has a 2.1% success rate, 98% kill rate. I mean, think this through. So this is the standard of care. If the doctor doesn't follow the standard of care, which we saw with COVID, right? Anybody that recommended ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, they went up against their medical examining board and lost their license. So if he goes outside of the standard of care and says, hey, I want you to try this alternative treatment or that alternative treatment, and he's going to lose his license. Because they are all in on this. And if you file a complaint against it, I told you before with my complaint, but what happened in Grace's case is a pharmacist reviewed Grace's records.
Right.
And when I filed my complaint with the state licensing board, it was a dozen pages or so. She wrote a 100-page complaint and she got literally the exact same form letter back from the state licensing board as I did. Other than her name has changed. So what am I saying with this? The standards of care, the state licensing board gives a get out of jail card free to any doctor following the standards of care. The standards of care are designed to hasten our deaths. They're literally designed to kill us. They're not designed to do anything else but that. CMS writing these standards of care control the entire medical industrial complex in the country. And by the way, that's illegal. the federal government is not supposed to be controlling states' rights. And just to prove that, I have a very short clip here to show you that the secretary of CMS even said it in a live interview. Here we go.
How many nursing homes are under federal care, or does the federal government own? Are there any? I know they're state and they're private, but does the federal government have direct control? Are there any federal nursing home facilities?
Well, the VA has some nursing homes, but in terms of my agency, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, we set the federal guidelines of safety and quality. And then we work with the states to inspect these nursing homes to make sure they're adhering to those guidelines. But ultimately, states license these facilities. What the federal government can do if a nursing home isn't compliant is we can withhold their reimbursement from Medicare or Medicaid.
Okay, so you see how they do it. They do it through controlling them with the money. Okay, so now she's talking about nursing homes. You know, it obviously applies to nursing homes, hospice care, hospitals. But it's interesting that her the interview is about nursing homes. And the reason I say that is because think about Medicare's end game. Medicare's end game, as I mentioned before, with the banality of evil, is to get the elderly into nursing homes. So if the elderly person that goes into a nursing home hasn't done the proper estate planning, so protected their assets from the nursing home, guess what happens? Which hardly anybody has done this. My former background is as a CPA, and I used to do estate planning. Right. Hardly anybody does this. And if you haven't done this, guess what happens? After you die, the nursing home has a claim against your estate. So they get reimbursed all the costs from your estate before the family gets any distribution from the estate. So the whole system is a funnel designed to kill you and take away all the money that you have accumulated throughout your life. All right, the next, I told you I'd come back to Down syndrome. What is the doctor saying about Down syndrome people? And this is for Down syndrome people who are alive. So you can see this is titled The Palliative Care Network of Wisconsin. This is just a fantastic document to show how they indoctrinate these physicians. So first of all, on the right-hand side, they list all the problems that people with Down syndrome have, 50 different problems. Okay, they don't talk about anything good. Because what they want to do is set the doctor up that, look at doctor, you're going to be the savior on the white horse to save this family from this nasty thing called Down syndrome. So you can see what they wrote. The lifelong toll on families is high. Part of a robust plan of care includes acknowledgement of this toll by the healthcare workers. Like, healthcare worker, you're going to help this family by getting rid of this person with Down syndrome. So then what did they give them the authority to literally kill them, Mel? So at the bottom, it says, whenever possible, decision makers for people with Down syndrome should be encouraged. The decision makers are the doctors, should be encouraged to use substituted judgment to make key palliative care decisions. All efforts should be made to determine the preference of the patient. However, because of lifelong cognitive impairment, the views of the person with Down syndrome may not be known. Just wrap your head around that. The view, so just because the person has a mental deficiency, you don't know that they want to live. So then you get permission to use your judgment versus theirs. All right. So then we would think, okay, well, at least we have informed consent. And anybody that's been in a hospital knows informed consent is a lie. You know, they sometimes tell you what they did after the fact, but we think that we've got informed consent. And what I'm here to tell you is that informed consent not only is a lie, but they have legislated it away on December 21st of 2023. So just 4 months ago, our brilliant Congress legislated away informed consent. So we think we have informed consent because the American Medical Association said so. It's just obvious. You know, God gave us the first informed consent. Treat your neighbor as yourself. So if you're a doctor, wouldn't you just want your patient to be informed and give his permission? Of course you would. Well, when we filed Grace's lawsuit, we had the first motion to dismiss came in May. We filed the lawsuit in April last year. The motion to dismiss came in May. Fortunately, the judge allowed the entire case to proceed. Yeah. This is one, the highlighted yellows, this is from one of the motions to dismiss. This attorney had the audacity to think, I can tell this judge, listen, you can't let this case proceed, because if you do, it's going to screw up all the doctors wanting to come to Wisconsin and practice. This is what he literally wrote. The legislature's purpose in enacting a statutory scheme to govern claims for damages arising out of alleged medical malpractice was to encourage healthcare providers to remain in Wisconsin by imposing certain limits on the causes of action that a patient or her family can pursue and on the types and amount of damages that can be recovered. So he's hoping this statement would get the judge to throw our case out, because we can't let this happen. All right, so then we hired a different attorney to write to the district attorney. So the district attorney would file a criminal case against this doctor who murdered Grace. All right, so he wrote this letter July of 23. July 26 of 23, the district attorney's office wrote back, and here's what they wrote. A doctor is not required to administer treatment he or she believes is not medically effective. This includes authorizing a DNR. The parties clearly had a dispute about how Dr. Shokar should treat Grace. Dr. Shokar did not abide by the wishes of the family. However, there's no law in Wisconsin that requires him to do so. Oh, yeah. So you think you've got informed consent? I'm here to tell you it's a lie. And in the bottom left-hand corner, you can see that before the CARES Act, there was the Cures Act from 2016, and Congress on December 21st of 2023 eliminated informed consent. All right. So then, of course, how do they pull this all off? Money. In Grace's case, Ascension Hospital System, the largest Catholic hospital system in the United States, has $30 billion in cash. They received $10 billion in bonus payments to murder people just in the first year of COVID. So how is this even possible? Well, on April 6th of 1933, we had the first stake in the ground to start the fiat currency. And that is when President Roosevelt had an executive order that everybody had to turn their gold in. And then in the 70s, we went up the gold standard. So newsflash, we have a fiat currency, which means what? That means there's no accountability. They can print money for every conceivable evil. They, you know, blank checks to Israel, blank checks to the Ukraine, but we can't have checks to take care of the elderly and disabled. No, we can't do that because they're too expensive. They cost 50% of the federal budget. So we've got to hasten their deaths. And they do this because we have a fiat currency. All right, I had referenced before about, and this is the money slide related to it, but the fourth quarter of 2021, Alcort pressed to get the jab in people's arms because the Brooke Jackson case is out. Grace, remember, was murdered in that fourth quarter. Blue Cross Blue Shield, incentivized by the government, of course, says, family practitioners, you guys, we want you to really get this COVID jab out there. So if you can convince between September 1 and December 1 of 2021, you can convince 75% of your patient populations to get the jab, we'll write you an extra check for $296,000. Their base salaries are $250,000. So they're more going to double their income in the final quarter to convince people to take the jab. All right, we're going to start transitioning. God warned us of all of this ahead of time. And this is, you know, Mel, the single most important thing I've learned since Grace's murder is to not have her murder be used to expose evil, shed light on evil instead. Mm-hmm. So exposing evil fits into Satan's game plan. And you're going to see this in a little bit, because there's an esoteric battle for souls. And if we just share evil, 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 Satan needs the evil exposed because he has another half. He's got an antichrist half and a false prophet half. And we're seeing Revelation 13 right in front of our eyes. The antichrist system is being morphed into the false prophet system. So as evil gets exposed, all of a sudden the false prophet comes in with security and comfort. And, oh, everything is back to normal. I mean, we saw this with September 11th. What happened with September 11th? We got the Patriot Act, right? What happened with COVID? We got the jab. So it's always something evil, and then we have something less evil that people get trapped into. Well, God warned us ahead of time. This prophecy is coming to fruition in real time. He said in Revelation 18:23, "For your merchants were the most important people of the earth. I believe he's talking about the merchants of America, because with your pharmakia, they deceived all nations. And the reason I say I think it's America is for a lot of reasons. I'm just going to get the high point slide here. Remember, this is just a highlight reel. I've got, you know, hundreds of slides.
Right.
I mentioned before there were 1.2 million hospital murders in the COVID era. The COVID era was 39 months long. So people might say, well, is that a high number or low number? Well, it's an extremely high number. In fact, the United States was number one of all 200 countries on the planet in hospital murders. Yet we only have 4.2% of the world's population. We had 17.2% of the world's deaths. We had 1.2 million murders. And the second country on the list, this is a shock, is India. India's population is four times that of the United States. Their landmass is only a third of the United States, yet their death count was less than 50% of the United States. Number two was India. I mean, this is one of those slides when you see this, it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. All right.
Then I want to do one final slide on the medical murder eugenics agenda. Then we're going to transition to the most important thing that I've learned. All right. So you think, I got to protect my kids. You know, the panic should be, I've got to protect my kids. All right. Remember I said earlier, the best thing that you can do is get out of the medical insurance racket.
Yeah. Well,
look at this. A lady sent me this document, and I'm just going to read the first paragraph. It says, parents who have proxy access to medical information of a child age 0 to 11 years old will automatically have that access removed by the system when the patient turns age 12. So the rule of law is dead. Okay, think through this. So now a hospital system by itself with no legal standing can just say when your child turns 12, they have 100% rights. You have no rights as a parent anymore. And this is so evil. All right. So we're going to start wrapping up.
Unbelievable.
The single most important thing that I've learned. So remember I said about God said, you know, it was just, it's so clear. Don't use Grace's case to expose evil. Use it to shed light on evil. Because exposing evil fits into Satan's game plan. So Satan has two game plans, and it's actually just two levels. It's always one game plan, which is for our souls, but it's at two levels. One level is called exoteric, so we can see it. The other one is esoteric, behind the scenes, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. So exoteric, we fall into what's called dialectics. So dialectics are evil, less evil. God's way is always outside of those dialectics. So think about evil Democrat, less evil Republican.
Okay? Right.
It gets you. So, you know, we've known intuitively we're voting for the lesser of two evils for, you know, I've known that my whole life. Okay, right. I never really thought about that. That's Satan's way. All right. So when you go to the COVID mandates, all right. So mandates like, well, mandates, that's illegal. That's evil. All right, so then what's the less evil? And this is really critical that people understand this. And I picked this particular slide because when I saw the vaxxed bus, you can see the little tagline says, where there is risk, there must be choice. And I instantly saw, I said, oh my gosh, this is the less evil dialectic. We got to have a choice, right? So mandate evil, and I'm saying choice is not good. Choice is less evil. Why? Because we're still in the vaccine dialectic. That's where they want us. They don't want to get rid of this vaccine agenda. This whole vaccine agenda is a psyop. It's anti-God. It's not just there hasn't been a vaccine that's never been tested. It is God has got our bodies covered. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. So now just think of the programming here. I'm just going to go through these bullets, Mel. So I wrote on the top, do we really have a choice? So the common person, the blue pill person, they are believing in viruses that promotes fear, and that's all reinforced by the propaganda. Then the medical system is programmed to follow orders. And you know, most of the doctors who are vaccinating, they believe in vaccinations. They have, Pierre Corey mentioned, they have vaccinate. Most of the family practitioners, that's where they make their money. And then we're programmed to obey the white coat. Right. So then the public pool system demands compliance. So now we have both parties in the couple, the husband and wife, are both working. They want the free babysitting service, the public pool system. And the public pool system says, well, in order to participate in free babysitting, your child has to have 80 shots just to enter our doors. Okay, so now does that person, the blue pill person, really have a choice? Well, yes, they have a choice, but they're programmed. But now the person who has been red pilled, they see this, oh, wow, yeah, that's a, we got to stop the mandates. And what does stop the mandates mean? We got to have a choice. You can see it here. Where there is risk, there must be choice. And I'm telling you bluntly, that is less evil. Less evil is still evil. It's still from Satan. Satan's way is to create these dialectics to give us the illusion of choice. It's not real.
From our farms to your family, all organic protein, fruits, vegetables, gut health, immune support, and so much more. We have products for weight loss and collagen and muscle building, products for children, athletic performance, and 30-day programs for just $12 a day. You can save $50 on your first purchase of $75 or more with the code MelKWellness. Go to the MelKShow.com partners page and check out MelK Superfoods today.
All right, just a couple of slides to close up, and then
great,
you and I can chat for a little bit. This is our main website, ouramazinggrace.net. You can see in the upper right-hand corner, you can subscribe to our newsletter. My deprogramming tab that takes you to all the, it's on all the podcast platforms, but that's where the history is. The Matrix Revealed series, that's the one I just finished up. It took 3 months, 500 hours.
Wow.
And that explainer video is the capstone of doing all that research.
Great.
And then when you go to the homepage, you'll see the medical murder series. That's the last time you and I got together. I was explaining the medical murder series, which is the 7-part series. Wow. Then last, our family. So on the left is Jess. You met Jess.
Yeah.
Then this is after our first court victory. This is right outside the courthouse. So the attorney said I had to wear a suit. So there's and my wife, Cindy, on the right. And of course, they messed with the wrong girl.
Yeah, they did. Wow. Unbelievable work. Where is the case right now in terms of the courts?
So we filed April of 2023. We had multiple motions to dismiss in May. We had the first hearing was in July, and the judge didn't entertain any of those motions. But then what he did was he asked us to file an amended complaint, which we also did in July. And that really sent quite a few motions to dismiss because we put in the second complaint a common law battery claim, a medical common law battery claim. So we took Grace's case outside of the state statutes. The state statutes really limited us to do anything. So we wrote a common law battery claim. There were multiple motions to dismiss. And on October 30th, the judge heard all those motions and said, the whole case is proceeding to trial.
Right.
And so we're in discovery right now. We have we have about 30 depositions scheduled for May. So
great.
Just
I'm taking down those notes because I want to stay on top of this. I want you to come back. So you have depositions that are happening, the most important part, and then we go forward from there. Okay, right. Awesome. Well, I'm going to stay in touch with you.
We're in it, but I mean, it is a lawsuit. I mean, it's a lawsuit in an anti-Christ legal system. I'm not banking on anything, but it is important. If we win this, it does open up a line of lawsuits that people can get outside of the state statutes to hold people to account.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, Scott. It was amazing. I just want to go digest what I just learned, and I'm sure the audience does too. So everyone, please go to Scott's website. He just had it up on the screen. We're going to have it below. And please follow this case and this story and make sure the word's out there about Grace. She is still with us. She is still guiding light for many, many people out there. And she was a gift from God and still remains that to this day and forever. And I'm very grateful to you and your family, Scott. Thank you for being here.
Well, I'm grateful to you too, Mel. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So we all agreed that we were going to get in shape for 2024. We were going to be healthy and we were going to get into our fitness routine and we were going to eat better. And guess what? It's easier said than done. Like we didn't know. But what's awesome is that I've teamed up with these awesome people over at Field of Greens. You know, when I get something new in the mail, I think, well, okay, I'm going to try it. And I was shocked. First and foremost, because it tastes awesome. Not only that, they have proprietary blends picked by doctors that actually target specific areas that you might have concerns about. So whether it's your lungs, your kidney, your heart, if it's metabolism, weight loss, energy, Field of Greens has a proprietary blend exactly for what you are looking for. Field of Greens has a promise. They promise you your money back if you are not fully satisfied and feel that Field of Greens is improving your health and your wellness all around. Field of Greens is made in America, straight from Texas. They give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, and they are helping Mel Kay and the Mel Kay Show going forward on our journey to health and wellness, as well as yours. So go to fieldofgreens.com, use the code Mel Kay right now, and you'll get 15% off your first order and be well on your way to your journey and wellness. I am so grateful to my new sponsor, Field of Greens. Great news, guys. We've been beta testing with my founding members, the Mel Kay Show, live on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. And it is going incredibly well. We have a community that we all connect. We can share information. Questions are asked of me, of other people. We share back and forth. This is really a place to go on Sunday nights. Get ready for the week, share what's working, what's not working, how we can make things better, how we can align with each other. Wherever you are in the country, there's many things you can do. So we've added locals now. So on locals, you can also join us on Sunday nights, or you can join members.themelkayshowlive.com. The members at melkayshowlive.com is a community for you that continues 24/7, 7 days a week. We put up many different things there, ideas, documentaries that are great. People tell what they're doing in their local community. They can reach out to other people all over the country. It's kind of has a cool Facebook vibe, but it's really about community, fellowship, helping each other.